Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 12. We're going to reference this morning two different people that I believe were influenced by their mothers. And I'm sure there are others. These are the two that came to my thoughts and began to think about these things. And Acts chapter number 12, I want us to read verse number 5, and then we'll skip over a few verses. But in verse number 5, the Bible tells us here that Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But now notice this next part. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Peter is put in prison. If you read the verses before, you'll find that there's some things that have taken place. Now, Peter is put into prison. He's put in the inner ward. And if you read verses 6 on down through 10 or 11, you'll find that Peter has a miraculous escape. The angel comes in and looses the chains of prison on him, and he walks past the different guards, and all of a sudden he's outside. And verse number 11 says, "And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Now notice verse 12. "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." Now, I believe verse number 12 references back to verse number 5, where it tells us that there was prayer being made from the church unto God for Peter. And we find out when Peter gets out, he goes to the house of the mother of John Mark, who we know of later goes with the Apostle Paul and Barnabas on a missionary journey. But in this house, there are Christians that are praying to God, and they're praying for the release of Peter. And so here we have a church. By the way, they didn't have a church building like we have. They had a home. And they had a place where the Christians could come together. And probably John Mark's mother may have been fairly, according to that day's standards, may have been fairly wealthy. She had a place where the church could gather together, and she had a place where they could come and have enough room to have this prayer meeting, and the Bible is very clear that we understand that she is the mother of John, whose surname is Mark, and then it tells us here that where many were gathered together praying. So here in the house of John Mark is a gathering of God's people, and they're praying for the Apostle Peter because he has been put in prison by Herod. If you know anything about Herod and the things of his administration, he was very anti-Jesus, anti-God. He had already put to death some of those early Christians. And probably Peter was on the next list to be executed. But prayer was made for him by the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the house of John Mark. Now, I believe that made an impression upon that young man. I believe make an impression upon me that if I was in that location, in that place, and people were praying, and you see God give an answer, I believe that would make us remember that. And you read over a few verses on, and you'll find that as time goes on, in verse 25, Barnabas and Saul, they returned from Jerusalem, and they had fulfilled their ministry, and they took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And then he carries over, and he goes with them. On that first missionary journey, he's not as sold out maybe as he should be. He goes home early. And then later on, Barnabas wants to take him again, and Paul refuses to do that. And so Paul and Barnabas separate their ways, and Barnabas takes John Mark, and Paul takes Silas. And so there's two groups going out preaching the gospel. And someone said, well, John Mark did a terrible thing. He became weak, and he became unstable, and he wasn't able to do. But later on, you'll find in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, Paul tells, he writes and said, be sure and have Mark to come. He is needful. He is needed in the ministry. And so John Mark didn't give up. John Mark stayed true to the stuff. And Paul later used him once again. But it all goes back maybe here to this household. It all maybe goes back to his mother being a believer, being a Christian, serving the Lord, and having a time that they could come together in their homes and preach and sing and pray. And I'm sure that made an impression upon his life. I can remember when folks used to go around from house to house on different nights of the week, and they just gathered together and have singing and have good fellowship together with God's people. And that's the way that we used to do. I can remember we'd go to a folks' house and we'd just get around the old piano and somebody clunk on it a little bit, and we'd sing and just have a good time as God's people. And that makes an impression upon our hearts and lives. Now, if you would, turn over to the book of 2 Timothy. And you find here another young man. And the book is named after him. And, oh, by the way, John Mark has a book also. It's called Mark in the Gospel. And so it made an impression. And we have Timothy here. And the Apostle Paul is writing unto him. And he says in verse number 1 of 2 Timothy, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. So Timothy is considered to be a son in the ministry, a young man, a young preacher. And Paul is writing to him and giving him instructions. And he says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembered of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly rejoicing to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now notice verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned, and that word unfeigned means real, talks about the real faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So here are two ladies in Timothy's life that produced to him some things that were very important, some things that they taught Timothy, and some things that had come into their life that they taught that young man Timothy, that now is a believer. He had heard the scriptures from his grandmother and his mother. He had heard the word of God. They were faithful in presenting as a mother to him. The scripture doesn't say anything about his father, so he may have been dead. The Bible doesn't say, so we don't know. But we do know that Paul says these two ladies had a great influence in the life of this man, Timothy. He says, I remember the unfeigned, the real faith that is in thee. Paul says, I know the faith that Timothy, that you have, is a result of your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I believe they were faithful in providing and proclaiming to him the unsearchable riches of the good things of God. And now Timothy is a young preacher, and Paul gives him instruction. Aren't we glad? Aren't we wonderfully glad that we have mothers that would teach us some things? We have mothers that would stand upon the principles of God's Word. And I realize not everybody, and maybe not everybody in this building, has the same privilege that I have. But I want to rejoice in what I have, and I want to encourage us that are gathered here this morning to be the grandmother or the mother, as Lois and Eunice were to this young boy, Timothy, that made a difference in his life and gave him a tremendous work of the Lord given unto him because of their faithfulness. I believe that any woman can be a good mother, but it takes a saved mother to be a great mother. Mothers can teach and mothers can give to us right things, but a saved mother, a saved woman, makes a great mom, and I believe the best mom in the world are saved ladies. Gives us understanding. Here in our text, we find John Mark's mother's house opened up to the Church of the Lord, praying in a prayer meeting for the preacher that was put in prison, waiting literally to be executed, that they pray for him and God delivers him. And I believe that made an impression upon John Mark. And I believe it would make an impression upon us. So I want us to think this morning about some principles or some things that Christian mothers should do. And I just entitled this, Things That My Mother Taught Me. And I believe as a believer, as a Christian, that we have that type of mother, then we can identify with this, because really and truly our mothers were ministers unto the things of the Lord. They taught us. They helped us. I know the father is the head of the home, and I know the father is the one that is the overseer. But for every child in here, I guarantee you, when you was a child, when you were growing up, if you had a scrape, if you had a bruise, if you had a problem, you didn't run to dad, you ran to mom. There's just something about a mom that's different. And so we understand that a mom treasures up the things of God unto her family, unto her children, and she should thirst after the wisdom of God to help provide truth and provide wisdom and knowledge to her family and to witness to her children, if nothing else, by a godly livelihood and a way of living and serving the Lord. And we that have, I can say that I had that type of mother. And so I want us to think this morning just four or five things that I'm calling what my mom gave to me, or what my mom taught me. First of all, she taught me to obey the will of God. I don't know how many times I would remember hearing her say, "Son, just always do what God tells you to do." Now, she was teaching me by words to do what God said, to obey Him. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans that we are to surrender ourselves unto the Lord. We certainly are to give ourselves over to the Lord. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, very familiar verse, says, "I beseech thee, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." What is that? Just doing what God wants you to do. To sacrifice your time, to sacrifice your talent, to sacrifice anything that God has blessed you with, that we ought to be willing to give it back to the Lord if that be His will. Son, just do whatever God tells you to do. Just follow what God has for you in your life. I never had my mom tell me what she wanted me to do. She never did express to me any desire that she had in my life other than just do what God wants you to do. Just follow the will of God. Just always be true to Him. And she said, He will always be true to you. And how true that is this morning. I believe every one of us could identify that if God leads us and we follow Him, He's true to us and He will help us. My mom never did tell me that she wanted me to be a pastor until after I surrendered to preach. And then she said, "I've always prayed that God would do that for you." I said, "Well, Mom, why didn't you tell me that beforehand?" She said, "I didn't want me to influence what you did." She said, "I don't want you to be Mama Call." I can hear it. But I do know one thing. My mom prayed that if it be the will of God, from the day I was born, she said, "If that be the will of God, that's what I'd like for Him to be." I'm afraid I've failed too many times of some of the desires that maybe she had, but she always said, "Do the will of God." My mom taught me to follow God's plan. Do what the Lord says. Follow Him. You do that by not being conformed to the world. Verse 2 of Hebrews 12. Not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that our hearts, our minds would be stayed upon the things of God and not be conformed to everything that goes on in the world. The problem we have this morning, that there are too many Christians conforming to everything out there and not being transformed by things in here. And may the Lord help us to do that. And so she taught me, and I believe godly mothers, your mother, my mother alike, would teach all of us that we should obey the will of God. Not only that, she taught me that this word, this Bible that I hold before me, is God's word. She didn't have any scholarship behind her. She didn't have any teaching behind her. She didn't have any ability to speak Greek or Hebrew, but she could read English, and she knew what she was reading was the Word of God. And she said, "Son, stay with the book." And I believe this morning that we need to understand that we need to teach our children that we are to obey the will of God, and we are to understand the Word of God that He has for us, teaching us that the Bible has a place in our life. The Bible has a high place in our life. The Scripture tells us in the book of Psalms 138, verse 2, David says, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name." So God says His word is pretty important. He has magnified it even above His own name. And so, son, know the Bible's place. If the Bible says it, then it's true. Now, that's not hard teaching. That's sometimes hard believing, and sometimes that's hard experiencing. But that's not hard teaching. Just believe what the Bible says. That's the best advice that a mom could give any son or daughter. Son, believe what the Scripture says. If the Bible says it, you don't have to question it. I can remember my mom saying, people say, "If the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it." And she told me, she said, "Whether you believe it or not, it's already settled because the Bible said it." And that's just how she felt. Whether you understand it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you accept it or not, it's settled because the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. She taught me that the Word of God had its place, and she taught me that the Bible had power because it taught about a powerful God and a powerful Lord, and the Scripture has a purpose, and the Bible teaches us purity and teaches us all these things that we are to live, and gives us pattern of life that we can be a productive Christian. Too many times we're interested in being a productive person by the world standards. And I'll tell you what, being a productive Christian is different than being a productive person by the standards of the world. The world will take your time, the world will take your talents, the world will take everything you have and bundle it up, and when they're done with you, they'll throw you away. But I'm glad God can take all I've got. And He says, you put things over on the other side, one day you'll have treasures in heaven. Praise the Lord. What we spend, what we do, what we give for the Lord, what we honor God with is not a forgotten talent. It's not a forgotten task. It's not something that's in the recesses of our mind. But thank God He has even a bottle for our tears. That He knows everything about us. And so the Word of God is very clear. And Mom said, just believe the Bible. Do what He says and believe the Bible. And she taught me that anytime you work for the Lord, the Lord's work was always good. It was good to do things for the church. It was good to take care of God's house. It was good to help in the work of the Lord. It was good to take care of God's people. And it was good just to do things for people because this is where we live and this is what we do. This is why we exist as a child of God, that we are to be helps in the Lord's house. Again, dating ourselves so many times back years ago, it's not as common today as it was a few years back, but anytime we would have a revival, it was just understood that the preacher would come to our house for some kind of meal. It might be a Sunday afternoon, or it might be a Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday or Friday. It might even be Saturday, but sometime during that week, we're going to have the preachers over. That's what it's called. We're going to have the preachers over. We'd have the pastor and his wife and the evangelist and his wife and whoever else might be involved in the work. And Mom would get busy early that morning. My mother, bless her heart, if she had a meal to come up at 5 o'clock in the evening, it was finished by noon because she didn't want to be behind. And then she'd have to warm it up at 4. That's just the way she was. And so we'd have the preachers over, and she felt as though, and I asked her one time, I said, "Why do we always do that?" Dumb question from a dumb little boy. She said, well, it's because they're the men of God and we want to help them. We want to be an encouragement to them. And she felt as though that was a part of her ministry. And by the way, it was. And I have it up here. Those wonderful memories. She taught me that if you helped in the Lord's work, you were doing something great for God's people, and especially for God's men, God's preachers. When you take care of God and His people, then God takes care of you and He will bless you. My mom taught me always to exalt the house of God in its proper place. We are falling so short of that today. We are falling so short of exalting the house of God. I know this is a building, but I don't want you to come in here and abuse this building because it's dedicated to the worship of the Lord. Some of the things that go on in supposedly church services, I'm sure, is nauseating to the heart of God. Make it a playhouse and a fun house. Make it a place where fun and games. I don't believe that's what the house of God is for. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another, provoking unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Even in Paul's day, there were some that would skip out on church and not go to the house of God. They'd do what they want to do. They would just not honor God. And so Paul says here that we ought to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as some people do. He says, but exhort one another. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. My friend, Jesus is coming. I believe we need to exhort each other to honor God and to love God and to put His house in the position of honor that it deserves. This is God's house, where God's Word is preached, where we can find grace for our souls and our children can live and hear the gospel and be saved. We were talking about yesterday how many times children do not have the privilege of hearing the Word of God because moms and dads won't get up and do what they ought to do. Exhorting one another. Mom always said, church is special. Church is a place where you behave. And buddy, if you didn't behave, you knew next time you better behave. Someone asked me one time, who whipped you more? Who disciplined you more, your mom or your dad? Mom all the time. 3/4 times a day. Dad said, after I got older and was married, he said, I don't remember spanking you but twice. That's why I remember three of them. He forgot one I hadn't forgotten. But the house of God is a place where you honor the Lord. She said, don't you be running to church. Y'all have heard that? Behave in church. Don't be running around these pews. Don't be making all that noise. Don't you go to sleep on that pew. They're just trying to teach me to honor God's house. To honor the place where the Word of God is proclaimed. And she taught me to rejoice in salvation. Taught me to realize that I had something special one day when the Lord came, touched my heart, made me a believer. She told me to rejoice in that. She said, you need to always thank God that He saved you. Those are things my mom taught me. Those are simple things. These are things that the Bible teaches us. And God puts within the hands of moms and dads the ability to transfer that knowledge over to their children. So that when they grow up, and by the way, they do grow up, and they grow up very quickly. It's things like just yesterday that Amy was running around here. Now when she comes, she's got two that run around here. You know what I say to them? Don't you be running in this church. Wonder where I got that from. Don't you be misbehaving. You know where we get that from? We get that from our moms and our dads. To respect, to honor the house of the Lord. Timothy, Paul says, I thank God, whom I serve my forefathers with a pure conscience, and without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers. Timothy, I pray for you. He said, Timothy, I call to remembrance that real faith that you have that came from your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. What Timothy had, what many of us have, because we had a grandmother or a mother, a grandfather or a father, that would teach us to always obey God. To teach us that these things aren't real. To teach us that the house of God is a special place. To show us that God loves us without any question. He cares about us. Thank God for my mom. Thank God for mothers. Thank the Lord for every Christian mom that stands from the pulpit of their home. You know where that is? Anybody got a guess? I heard it. Who said it? Kitchen. The kitchen. That's the pulpit. That's the place of our mom. We live in a society that's trying to do away with family and trying to do away with home and trying to do away with children. I read this week, to my disgust, some lady, she said, I'm not ready to be a mother. And so she had filmed her abortion and placed it on internet. What an ungodly generation we're living in. What a terrible, terrible thing. Why, if they want to live that way, why flaunt it in my face? And then if I speak anything against it, I'm the bigot. Well, I'll just have to continue to be. Because God gives us a mouth, an ability, and we need to proclaim His Word. So thank God for mothers. Thank God for every mother here this morning. Would you stand, just the mothers at this time? Mothers, would you stand? Mothers.